Hello, and welcome to Genesee Valley Church's online service. Our theme for this year is Plus One, which encourages us to invite someone to join us in worship and fellowship. Our mission statement is simple. It's loving God, loving people, and loving life. We hope that this message will serve as a source of inspiration and encouragement for you. Each episode, we will explore different aspects of our faith, share stories of hope and healing, and discuss ways we can make a positive impact in our community and the world. So whether you're a longtime member of our church or just tuning in for the first time, we welcome you to join us on this journey. Let's make 2023 a year of growth, both for ourselves and for those around us. Thanks for listening. Here we go.
Hey, so glad that you're here this morning. This is our back to school, back to church service. I think some forgot about that. Praise the Lord. It was back to the vacation. No, but we're glad that you're here. So thankful that you are just joining us and attending today. I don't know about you, if you can reflect back to those days of going back to school. I was talking with somebody just the other day when we started talking about school, and he said, I hated school. He said, the only thing I liked about school was the first few days of school. He said, because I got to wear a new outfit every day. You remember those days when you went back to school and you got the school clothes and you got to model them, and then finally after a couple of weeks they got old, you know. My kids, you know, they're homeschooled, and, they still like to school shop, so, you know. They look good for me, praise the Lord. So glad that you came. Amen. Well, hey, just in regards to going back to school, again, I just want to draw your attention to maybe some feelings that we all face and experience from time to time. Some of you may have children that are in school. Some of you might have grandchildren, or maybe you just remember those days, or maybe even just the season of getting into the fall and getting back into some routine. It draws some emotions and some feelings, if you can think, you know, when you think about going back to school, you think of getting back or back into the grind of routine. Maybe you think of going back to school, it's running here, running there, running everywhere, just trying to meet the needs of everybody's schedule. Again, or you start to think of the fact that everything starts to come back to a place of normalcy. Amen. Don't you like when things kind of get normal, when things don't just hit you from left field? You like some normalcy. But nevertheless, in normalcy, we oftentimes have schedules that we put in place to create normalcy. And obviously, if you have a family, you have children, this particular time of year, the calendar and the schedule gets filled up rather quickly. Can all the parents say amen? Oh, we only have a couple parents in here. All right, well. Wrong church, wrong place. Nevertheless, all right. Anyways, well, the Bible says this over in Psalms 121, verse 1. It says this. He says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. We said that this is a season where we're going back to school, back to church. And I don't know how many kids today are saying, I was glad when they said, let us go back to school. But we do know that the scripture says, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Now, once again, I don't know about you, but for me, I love coming to church. I love the house of God. I love the people of God. It's my people. It's my family. Amen. I try to be hip every now and then. You know, you're my peeps. You're my... The young girl over here looks at me like, give it up, Pastor. You just, you know. But anyways, how many of you are glad that you're in the house of the Lord? Yes. Amen. Now, when you come to the house of the Lord, do you come with an anticipation? Do you come with an expectation? Do you come with a heart of, God, I'm ready to worship you? And in addition to that, are you ready to receive from God? Because when you come into the house of the Lord, God not only wants to receive from you, He wants to pour into your life. He wants to download into your life so that your life is forever changed. And the Bible says this, that our life is changed from glory to glory to glory, from faith to faith. So that means that this walk with God should never become normal. There's a normalcy of trusting and walking with God. And if I can say it this way, it ought to be normal where we live so close to the edge of trusting God, where if we just take one more step, we would step out on thin air. That's where God wants us. That ought to become normal. But once again, God doesn't want us to get so complacent and just so relaxed that, well, I could take it or leave it. No, God wants us to keep a mentality of expectation. Amen? Now think about it from this perspective in regards to the heart of God. Because we're talking again back to school, back to church. And once again, we talk about going to church or getting back into a routine. And for many, that doesn't evoke good feelings, memories, emotions, or even bring about excitement. But notice what God says. He said this. He said, keep the Sabbath and keep it holy. Right? He said, keep the Sabbath. Keep it holy. That word holy doesn't mean just, oh, righteous and holy. Part of it means to keep it separated. Keep the Sabbath. Your time of going and spending time with God, keep it separated. Or in other words, put it on schedule. Right? Why? Because God says, I long to meet with you there. But now even further than that, look at what it says here in Exodus chapter 35. Because God says something very direct to us in regards to the Sabbath or going to church. Now, once again, if you think about church and that it's just a grind or it's just something that I have to do or it's just something that I don't enjoy, then you've been in the wrong church all your life. Because, see, in this church, when we come to church, Jesus shows up. And if you're going to a church where Jesus don't show up, you're in the wrong church. If you're in a church where it's a lot of formality, a lot of religion, and it makes you feel lesser than when you leave, then you're in the wrong church. Amen. Because the Bible says this, where the Lord is or where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty or freedom. So you ought to leave church not thinking, oh dear God, did you hear the church or hear the pastor beat me up today? I feel worse. I feel terrible. I wish I'd have stayed home. No, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty or freedom. We ought to be walking out of church thinking, dear God, I'm so glad I came to church. I came in feeling heavy. I walked out feeling light, right? But notice the significance or the importance of what God says in Exodus chapter 35, starting in verse 1. Now, understanding this is Old Testament, he's referring to the law. We understand that he gave us the Ten Commandments, right? But how many of you also understand that the Ten Commandments didn't go away when Jesus came on the scene? They're still there for us to abide by. But notice what he says here, starting in verse 1. It says, then Moses gathered all the congregation, the church. Welcome to GVC, church. We gathered you all together today just to hear this. He gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said to them, these are the words which the Lord has commanded you to do. So, did you notice? Now, some of you might have those newfangled translations that may have said suggested. God suggested or he implied that it was a good idea. Or that it might be beneficial if you do. No, the word says that God commanded us to do this. Then it goes on to say this in verse 2. He says, work shall be done for 6 days, but 7 days or on the seventh day shall be a holy day for you. A Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Now notice this last sentence. Whoever does any work on it shall be what? Put to death. Oh, dear God. Whoa, I'm so glad you came to church today. Man, wow. Make a phone call of those people you don't see today. Just check on them. Hey, you okay? Notice again, he says there are 6 days that you must work. But he says the seventh day, he said it's the Sabbath. Keep it holy, holy to the Lord. And on this day, I want you to rest. Now, I think this scripture oftentimes gets overlooked because I think we live in a culture that has gotten so lackadaisical, so liberal, excuse me for talking that way, but liberal and just so casual and mediocre in life that we think we ought to just work, you know, 2 days out of the week, maybe get a 32-hour work week or maybe just, you know, whatever the case might be. But the Bible says, God says, there's 6 days. Work on them. Be productive. But then he says, the Sabbath, the seventh day. He says, I want you to give that to me. He said, I want you to put it on the calendar. He said, I want you to keep it holy and separated, or honor and worship me. Come into the house of the Lord. And then in addition to that, he says this, not only do I want you to come and spend time with me and worship me, he says, I want you to take the day to rest. You need rest. You need to be recharged, built up, energized. I want you to take rest. Can somebody say, thank the Lord? Amen. He said he wants us to find rest. Schedule this. But he says, now, if you don't schedule this, it means death to you. How many of you know that people schedule themselves almost to the point of death in everyday life? Right? How many of you know that there's people that put their schedule together that if you look at their schedule in terms of importance, they make their schedule oftentimes like it's a matter of life and death, when really it's just a full schedule that keeps them running to the point that they're ragged. Hello? And God says, I just want a little bit of time with you. Now, once again, you think about church or keeping the Sabbath. How many of you understand that God is not saying, I want you to go to church as a punishment? He's not saying, you know what, this is going to put a hardship on your life. You're going to hate it, but you got to do it anyways. No, he says, I see and I know that this is significant and important for you to have a Sabbath, to come spend time in my presence, to worship me, to be with the family of God. And I'm asking you to do it one day a week. Make it holy. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever found that when you're by yourself, it's a whole lot harder to trust God and worship God and follow God than it is in the company of believers? I guarantee you, there's people that are here this morning that have been struggling in the area of sickness and disease. And you go home by yourself and all you're left with is your thoughts and the diagnosis and the doctor reports and the pain in your body. And you're there trying to believe God the best that you can. But you come in a company of believers that will hook up with you, that will stand by your side, where the company and corporate anointing is strong. It's a whole lot easier to believe and to receive in the house of God. So are you understanding? God says, I see it and know it to be of value to your life. It's significant. I didn't do it for it to be a hardship. I did it to be a blessing. Amen? But how many of you also know that there's so many people that don't understand the heart of God? As a pastor, I've been in the ministry for close to 25 years, maybe longer. And I've heard this from time to time. Well, I say from time, oftentimes. People will say, well, my weekends are the only time that I have time. Or this is the only time that I can do. Or this is the only time that I have to myself. Or that I can do X, Y, and Z. Do you know what the common denominator of those statements are? I. What they're saying is that I need time for me. I'm too busy for. This is my time. And God is saying, that's great. I want you to have your time. But listen, I want us to have our time. Hello? I've had individuals say, you know, my husband don't go to church. And he works a lot of hours. And so the only time I get to spend with my husband is Sunday. Well, when you stand before God, and God says, who did you serve? And your answer is, well, I served my husband because he was more important than you, God. Woo! Did I say that out loud? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, once again, God is not opposed to you taking time off or getting away or having vacation or, you understand, you know, having honeymoon time and getting away. God's not opposed to that. What God is saying, put me on the schedule. Make me a priority. Give me you. I want you because I love you. Amen? And you might say, yeah, but you know what? I've been doing okay so far. I know you just read that scripture and it says that, you know, if you don't keep the Sabbath, you're going to die. I haven't seen anybody die yet of not going to church. Oh, yeah? Somebody already did. Jesus died. Somebody did die for us not honoring the Sabbath. Somebody did step in our place and paid the price. Now, once again, the law is so beautiful because God knew that we could not keep it. And that's why he sent Jesus, so that he would be the person to take the sacrifice, or make the sacrifice, take the punishment upon him for us. And that upon receiving the gift of salvation, we don't have to stand before God and say, God, I've messed up. I didn't go to church half the time. He says, I know. He says, every time you didn't come to church, there was the blood on the mercy seat that says, I love you, I forgive you, and I can't wait till the next time that we come together. Amen. How many of you know that God is not a hard taskmaster? He loves you. He loves you. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, God loves you? You know, it's been said this way. How you get along with people is evidence of how you're getting along with God. How you getting along with people nowadays? How you getting along with the kids and the grandparents? And how you getting along with mom and dad? How you getting along with your spouse? Well, me and God are just doing fine. No, listen. Look at the relationships you have. How are we doing with people? And it's an indication of how we're getting along with God. You could also say this in regards to our relationship with God. How's your love walk with Jesus? How in love are we with Jesus? Well, then we could say, well, how's your Sabbath going? What's your Sabbath look like? What's your schedule look like in regards to the Sabbath? That's a good indication of really where our love walk is with God, with Jesus. Now, once again, I realize what I've been sharing with you up to this point. It sounds heavy, and it sounds like, man, I got to go to church, got to go. That's the expectation. I need to give my attendance to church. But listen, church is not about attendance. It's about us coming and having fellowship with God. He says there's a meeting place that you have, and you'll experience me when you get there. Now, let me ask you this. I realize that a lot of us maybe did not like school. Raise your hand if you enjoyed school when you was a kid. Three girls, five girls, and one guy over there. Everybody else said, I didn't like school. And isn't it funny, overwhelmingly, the people raise their hand is women. Because us guys, it's just like, I hated school. I didn't want to go to school, right? But how many of us would also agree that school was the foundation of our life? The things that I learned in school was foundational for the life that I live now. And thankfully, there's things that I still apply today as a result of the education that I had. Right? And so when you come to church, what's church? Church is the foundation for your life. It's a foundation for your relationship with Him. Unfortunately, when it comes to church nowadays, and because of the culture, it looks different. You know, Sunday school is a thing of the past. In fact, even Mrs. Hagan, I had a conversation with her at the concerning the Bible college. I said, does the Bible college look different than it used to? And she says, yes. She says, in fact, we have to have our first year of just fundamental teachings on Bible stories. She said that the young people are coming to school nowadays, and they don't know the basics of the Bible. They don't know about Abraham. They don't know about Moses. They don't know about Adam and Eve. They don't know about Noah. They didn't get these Bible stories growing up where they learned the faithfulness and the character and the love of God. Excuse me. They didn't learn about David and Goliath and Daniel in the lion's den. And so now they're having to come and learn the fundamentals and the foundation at an older age. But what was church always meant to be? It was to be a foundation for our walk with God. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Amen. Notice what it says here in Mark chapter 12, verse 29, or beginning in verse 29. Because once again, God wants us to experience His best. He wants to know us. Notice it says here in verse 29. It says, Jesus answered him. He says, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first command or commandment. And the second is like it. And it's this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. What did he say? If you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, he said, you'll fulfill the commandments. You don't have to worry about whether I mess up, whether I don't or do go to church, whether... No, listen, if I love God, there's going to be evidence of my life. And therefore, because of loving God, I'll just keep the commandments. That means that keeping the Sabbath is just part of my lifestyle because I love God. But now if I start loving God, what's a bystander or fruit of that? I start loving people. Amen. So in other words, when I come to church, I just love coming to church because I'm keeping His commandment. I'm honoring God. God's blessing me. But man, I get to hang out with some amazing people. Praise God. Now I understand there's always that one. Don't point him out to us now. We know who he is. All right, you know. Gets under your flesh, kind of rubs you wrong, burr under the saddle. Listen, that one person right there that you're thinking of, listen, like Paul said, it was appointed to me a thorn in the flesh. This call him thorny the next time you see him, okay? No, when we come to church, we have the ability to love one another. And the Bible says this, that if we will walk in love, we will fulfill the law. So in other words, we don't have to worry about the consequence or that God is this heavy-handed God. No, God says, if you'll love me, I'll love you, and I'll love you in spite of how much you love me. But if you'll just purpose to come in fellowship with me, oh, you have just begun to see what I have in store for you. Oh, come on. God wants us to experience His best. Let me ask you this in regards to your school time. Why was it oftentimes, or I should say, why did we oftentimes not like going to school? And I thought of a few different things. Number one, I have to get out of bed. Who likes getting out of bed early to go to school? No. Isn't it funny that sometimes people look at church the same way? I have to get out of bed. I mean, we have church at 10:30. I mean, you ought to have 2 miles walked and breakfast and coffee and showered and shaved and all that good stuff, ready to go, bright-eyed, bushy-tail, right? 10:30. In regards to school, why did I not look like going to school? Because I was held accountable and held responsible. Going to school, why did I dread going to school? Because I'd rather be playing. Why did I dread going to school? Because I had to learn and even be stretched in areas that I didn't like to be stretched. Come on, how many of you like Algebra 1, Algebra 2, and Calculus? Oh, history.
Yeah, history, yeah.
My Achilles heel was English. I could not spell worth a darn. I still can't spell. I mean, if you read my notes, you would say, what in the world did you write? I spell words the way they sound, not the way that they're supposed to be written. You know what I'm saying? Don't make fun of me now. Don't judge me. Oh, what else? Why do we not like going to school? Because I don't fit in. I feel like an outsider. It seems like school's full of cliques. And all these things that we looked at school at and why we did not like school, oftentimes we're looking at church as being the exact same thing. I don't fit in. There's cliques. I'm stretched. I'm asked to do something. Dear God, they want me to give. Oh my gosh. Right? We're being stretched to grow. But God has good things in store for us. I can remember when I was a kid, you know, back in the day when you would go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. And you always started school on a Monday. And so Mom had us in church on Sunday evening. And I'm sitting there in the pew Sunday evening, depressed. And the reason that I'm depressed is because tomorrow I got to go to school. And I'm depressed because the moment that I get home from church, I got to go to bed. Can't even enjoy the night. Can't watch The Incredible Hulk. You know, come on Sunday night. Yeah, that was great TV. Monday night, 9 o'clock, or maybe it was 8 o'clock, Little House on the Prairie. Man, you just can't beat that kind of TV. You know what I'm saying? But just depressed, knowing that I had to school. The fun is over. The summer's behind me. But nevertheless, all of that is just means of a battle of the flesh, right? And why is it that we struggle to go to church? Most of the times, it's just the flesh that's screaming at us and saying, I'd rather be doing something else. Because we don't understand the benefit of what church was meant to be. And so I just want to encourage you this morning, just by sharing just a brief testimony, if you can, or if I can. I said that oftentimes our thoughts of church or what we've experienced or how we struggle. In fact, let me say this before I get there. If you struggle with church, then the chances are you grew up in a home that didn't have a church discipline or was very religious. Because if you had a home that was filled with a relationship with God, you as a family enjoy going to church. Your children will love God. Listen to me. If as a family you serve God together, your children will never say, I don't want to go to church. I don't like going to church. Why? Because they have a relationship with God themselves. Are you hearing me? Now, I'm not bragging on my kids, and I'm not no special parent. In fact, for that matter, I missed the mark by 100 miles. Half the time, I'm saying, dear God, I wish I was a better dad. But in regards to my kids have never, ever, ever once said to me, Dad, I don't want to go to church. They enjoy it. My daughter, my eldest daughter, she said to me, they started working on the worship team. They were doing it once a month. Then my oldest daughter says, you know what? It just isn't enough. I just want to keep on doing it. I just want to worship more. Why? Because they have a cultivated relationship with God. Because they saw not formality, not religion, not tradition, but genuine hearts to know and serve God. Not perfection, but people that just said, God, we know that you're greater. We know that there's more. We know that this is a life source for us. And we just don't want mediocre. We want all that you have for us, God. Amen? And so once again, if you're struggling, saying, I just don't like church. It don't do anything for me. Once again, I just want to introduce you to Jesus. There's a young man that's in our church, and he said this. He said, you know, I grew up in church to some degree. We had some kind of routine. And he said, but you know, when I went to church, he said it was sit down, stand up, kneel. Sit down, kneel, stand up. Sometimes they changed up the rhythm and the routine, but you know, you sit down, stand up, kneel. And then he said, and then we had to go tell this guy and confess our sins. And then they would tell us, you know, Hail Marys and Our Fathers and all this. He said, as to though, if I said enough, then my sins were forgiven. He says, and everything about it, he said, it was just nothing more than religion. And he says, I hated church. He said, the first time that I came to this church, he said, this was what church was meant to be like. Amen. He said, I love going to church. Now, the reason that he came to church here, this will help some of you, is called hormone evangelism. There was a young, pretty girl that was coming to the church. She invited him, and he's like, oh, yeah, I'll come, yeah. And so they just started attending church together. But something happened. They started doing a Bible study together. And they started growing in their walk with God. And then all of a sudden, not only was he the young man that he has always been, but all of a sudden he started taking on the nature and the stature of Christ in him, the hope of glory. And then she began to have more of God on the inside of her. And then all of a sudden, I'm not just seeing you for you. I'm seeing the Jesus in you. And I'm thinking you're looking pretty cute today. Ha, ha, ha. Amen. And all of a sudden, because they were pursuing God, they started seeing each other differently. Hello? I lost that loving feeling. I don't know, just wrong song. It just came to me, thought I'd sing it. But nevertheless, they started getting to know one another, started liking one another. And now this is where the changes. Here's where I'm going with this. He said, all I ever knew was tradition and religion. But as they came to church here, they started reading their Bibles. They started worshiping together. They started serving together. And this young man will call me from time to time. I've been reading the Bible. And the message that you preached, he said, I just saw something in the Word that said exactly what you did. Different scripture. But God's starting to talk to him. And he's hungry for the things of God. And then you start talking to them, and they just want to get around you, and they just want to grow, and they just want to be ministered to, and they're hungry for the Word, and they can't get enough, and they want more, and they want more. And then you start talking to them now. They're like, dear God, all I want to do is do life with God and fulfill the ministry and the call upon my life. I don't even want to go to work. I just want to serve Jesus. How do I do life and serve God to the capacity that I have in me when I got to do all this natural? What am I saying? Is that they started to pursue God, not religion. They found Jesus through coming to the house, the local church, on the Sabbath. And they found a genuine relationship with God where he became real. He became known. And they began to crave and want more of him. He's even to the point where he's just getting radical, man. He called me the other day. He's like, man, how do I start a revolution in my workplace? I'm getting ready to tear the place down. Had to talk him off the edge there for a minute, man. He's like trying to revolt against the man, you know. My point is this, is that they fell in love with Jesus, fell in love with one another because of coming to the house, of keeping the Sabbath. You might be here this morning, and church has been a source of hurt. Or maybe you're here today and you're hurting. You feel the pain of the past. Confused. Guilty. Shame. Discouragement. Disappointment. And you're thinking, I'm just in church for one more day and hearing one more sermon. And I'm just about out of here because I hear the music playing. Listen, I don't want you to leave here saying, I just had one more message and I spent one more hour in the house. I want you to leave here saying, I had the opportunity of having a no-so experience with Jesus that would radically change my life to where it's not religion or formality. I don't have to serve God. I don't have to go to church. I get to know him. I get to serve him. I get to keep a Sabbath. Because he's so good to me. Come on, are you here this morning? Finding yourself grappling with this idea of knowing God. You're not here by chance. You're not here just because. You're here to hear God ask you the question. Will you just give me you? God's not asking you to be perfect. He's just saying, will you give me a chance to bring all your dreams to come to pass? Will you just give me a chance to love you? Will you give me a chance to heal the hurts? Will you give me a chance to mend the marriage? Will you give me a chance? Will you just let me in? More than just a passing prayer. Will you give me you? Will you stand with me today? I'm going to do something a little different this morning. Rather than asking you to lift a hand and respond to an invitation, I just trust that the Holy Spirit has been pulling on your heart because you know that God wants more, not from you, but wants more with you. And you've been sensing, I just know that I want to spend time with God, but the schedule has gotten in the way. So listen, I'm just going to say a prayer. And in this moment, I want you, just in your personal time, just to talk to God. Because it don't do any good for you to just raise a hand and pray a prayer and go on like nothing's changed. So I'm just going to pray over us and for us, for those of you that are watching online. Because God is getting ready to visit your house. School's in session. The Sabbath is awaiting. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every single person in this place. That God, we would have such a desire to know you. That the lie of serving you is hard. That you've asked us to jump through hoops that we'll never accomplish. God, all you ever wanted was to experience us and us to experience you. To love us and have us love you in return. So God, we just say, here we are. I give you my life. I give you my family. I give you my marriage, my children, my grandchildren. And I'll purpose to grow and know you. Holy Spirit, I ask you to help us bring clarity to our life, to our schedules. Give us strength to make the decisions that we have in our hearts right now, to see them to fulfillment and completion. And this we ask in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
And with that, we come to the end of this episode. We hope that you have found inspiration and encouragement in our discussion today, and we invite you to join us again next week. Let's make 2023 a year of growth and love by sharing the message of our church with others. We encourage you to take the Plus One Challenge this week and invite someone to join you at our next worship service. You can get more information about our church and say hi to us anytime from our website or social media, all online at gvchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We are Genesee Valley Church, loving God, loving people, and loving life.